time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We back. You know, we black. It's the history year. You know what I mean? Black history year. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm black historying it up. Goddamn. I mean, currently today is the final day of the month. But, you know, yeah. By the time y'all hear this, the first of the month. So right now in the present, I'm still in, you know what I'm saying, black land of the history of the month as we move into the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. As we transition a little bit. Oh, man. It's Black Women's History coming up. This is that chamber. Shout out to the Black women making history. Yeah, man, I'm chilling, man. I can't complain. You know, generic pleasantries aside, you know,
vague black man.
you know how it go. That's funny. I'm chilling, dog. I can't even complain, man. I'm just here at the crib. Had to get a little cup of coffee just to get a little pep. Went to the gym earlier today. I've been on my gym shit recently. See, you know.
What does that mean in your world?
In my world, man, my world, you know, so funny now, my world now with the gym, because I always felt like when I go to the gym, it always feel like I'm in the wrong neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't never really feel like a gym guy. You know what I'm saying? Right. One of them type of cats that look like they got a program, that got it in their, you know, they got it in their head. They know what they're going to hit next. They know, okay, that machine is not available. I could just do the alternate on this. Okay, let me size that. Okay, da 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 da. So, I've realized recently, man, I just make it what it's going to be, right? So, just like in any other part of life, just do what you need to do. So, I'm heavy on, I do like a good at least 20 minutes on the treadmill, you know what I'm saying? And then whatever else, we just figure it out. If we's going to do some weights, we're going to do, you know what I'm saying, some machine type shit, all of that. That's just like kind of somewhat off the head with a little bit of, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of context of, okay, we did legs yesterday. You start doing that shit. You start getting into your compartmentalization. Okay, today is legs and back. You know what I mean? To give you some little bit of purpose or whatever the fuck. But more,
that shit sound aimless.
Oh, it is a little aimless. It's, you know what it is? It's not all the way adrift. It's aimless, but I be moving like I know where the fuck I'm going. I might not know where I'm going, but I still be. It's like a mosquito. You know, a mosquito be darting off. I be darting to just so I look like I got some certainty.
But AM is better than NAM, as my grandma would say.
Absolutely.
I mean, any workout is better than no workout. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, yeah. And you feel a lot better when you leave because, you know, going to that shit, for me, I'm like, I don't know that far. But it, I can't give myself no excuses. The shit is not far at all. You know what I'm saying? So that was part of the program. That shit is right there in the vicinity. And once I get it done, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it finally snowed last night, right, in New York. And I was a little disappointed. I'm not going to lie. Kind of. It felt like similar to when I caught COVID. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought I was in the clear, and then that shit just hit me. Like, I thought we was going to have some, like, you know, historic winter with no snow. Mm-hmm. Even though couple months back, or maybe a month back, I was like, you know, a winter without snow, I don't know if you're really going to appreciate spring, because it's going to feel like you didn't really go through anything. You know what I'm saying? So it snowed a little bit yesterday. Nothing super crazy, but enough. And one thing I will keep it 100, I did appreciate having a parking spot. Cause a nigga did not have to endure with the bullshit. I definitely, woo-wee. That shit was one of those reaffirming moments. Was like, okay, cause I even went out in the world. I went out, shout out to my man Jamie Roberts, went out to comedy in Harlem. You know what I'm saying? Dropped in, did some shit. But anyway, long story short, it snowed last night, so the snow and shit all on the ground. So it's like, you know, you add that to the little list of excuse elements as to why you don't want to go to the gym. But when I came out and I'm walking back through that snow, I felt so fucking accomplished. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a whole, it was what it was, but I just felt like, all right, B, you did some shit. You conquered the day. Or what did they say? You won the morning, even though it was damn near mid-afternoon. But it was what it was, man. It was what it was. So now I'm chilling. I'm here. Feel a little hopped up on black coffee. Mm-hmm. But I'm here, man. I'm chilling, man. I feel good.
Fire it up. That's what's up. Shit. I'm chilling, too.
So, yeah, man, that's you know, chilling. You chilling. What's up? What's good on your side, though?
Man, shit, I had a nostalgic moment the other day. Shout out to Teresa Sanders, who's a publicist. We go way back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But she's doing some stuff with New Edition, and they're about to do that tour. So I was able to go by their rehearsal the other day. And you know what I'm saying? I met New Edition. That was cool. You know what I'm saying? From a nostalgic point of view. You know what I mean? Yeah. I shot Mike Bibb before in Boston. We did this show with BET called BLX Blocks. And it go back to people's hometowns, and I went with Michael Bivens back to the projects where they was from, which is not projects no more, which is like some new houses and shit, but we went back to the block where they all grew up and they all met. You know what I'm saying? But this is the first time, you know what I'm saying? Johnny Gill, motherfucking Ricky, Bobby, motherfucking.
Oh, Bobby was in there too?
Yeah, Bobby was in there.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, when she introduced me to him, you know, I went around a circle and Bobby was, you know what I'm saying, probably like second to last. Johnny Gill. And then, you know what I'm saying? When I dapped Bobby up, it was like, you know how Obama dapped everybody up on this key appeal?
Yeah.
Mike Bibb, that's my dog. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you know what I'm saying, Johnny? Okay. You know what I'm saying? And then when it came to Bobby, it was like, ah, my nigga. What up?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? I don't usually say much to people, but I was like, man, thanks for all the shit you did, you know what I'm saying, for the era, and especially here in the city of Atlanta. Because, you know, Bobby owned that studio, which got a lot of niggas started. You know what I'm saying?
What studio was that? Lifetime or something?
No, I don't remember. I think it was BBB. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that was the name of the studio. But he had, I think that was his label. But he had the studio over, I think it's Stank On You now.
Okay. I hear about that.
Yeah, that was Bobby Brown's studio first.
Gotcha. And,
so he was trapping out of the A back in the day. So, you know, he laid a lot of groundwork for a lot of cats who do it out here now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
you
know, gave him his props. You know what I'm saying? It was funny because when we pulled up, that was the first nigga I saw. He was pulling in the same time I was pulling in.
What
was he pulling in with? What kind of wet?
He was riding with somebody else. Oh, okay, damn.
He on tour, you know what I'm saying? I don't even know if he live in Atlanta. He was, you know, they on tour. So, you know, I guess they rehearsing out of here, you know what I mean?
So they got a show tonight or something like that?
Nah, they about to start the tour. I think it started next week or some shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So they just rehearsing, so I don't know where he live or whatever, but, you know, he was rolling with somebody else, you know what I'm saying?
So did you chop it up with them a little bit or just the real pleasantries?
My part was just pleasantries, but then it was some work stuff that went on. We chopped it up with the whole whole squad as New Edition. And then, you know, did some individual breakouts with like BBD, Johnny Gill separately, you know what I'm saying? Ralph Tresvant by himself, you know what I mean? So it was cool, man. It was just like, you know, I'm from that era. You know, Bobby Brown was the one who called out that 560 on the record.
What's your about 560?
The Benz.
560 Benz?
Yeah, he called it out on one of his records. It became known as the Bobby Brown Benz.
Oh, wow.
Back in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like 87, 88, it was the Bobby Brown Benz.
Oh, that's hard. Yeah, that'd have been dope.
Bobby and Marlo. I ain't put it together, but you know what I'm saying? Right. He from, you know what I'm saying? He when you hear his shit, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's that era. It's from where I'm from, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. like his music was big in Miami. And when you hear that My Prerogative and all that shit, it's like, damn, that's that nigga Bobby Brown. That nigga came
through.
What's
your favorite Bobby Brown record?
Shit, My Prerogative. What's some of them? Shit, that whole first album.
Yeah.
That whole King of the Stage album. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm
thinking of Don't Be Cruel. Don't Be Cruel is his own album, though, right? That's a different album.
I don't know. Yeah. He had a good run then. Huh. Shit. Get me the line.
That's the name of that album. Mm-hmm. I think so.
All right.
I remember that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, you know, Bobby Brown was good for the culture. You know what I'm saying? He was an R&B Absolutely. Nigga who was more like the culture than all the other, you know what I'm saying, R&B guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like the R&B guys was, like, above reproach. You know what I'm saying? And cats like Bobby Brown, he was before, like, a Jodeci and Mary when they was mixing hip-hop and R&B. He was like the R&B guy who just went hard, like a hip-hop texture. You know what I'm saying? Like a more of a street texture to his music. So it was cool, man. I appreciate it seeing though.
Nah, that's dope. That's dope. Yeah, Bobby Brown is definitely a legend. And yeah, definitely his own energy, you know? You know, it is for, you know. What was I going to say? There's two things I was going to say. Well, one, when you say you pulled up on New Edition at rehearsal, New Edition still seems like one of those groups, even as rooted as they are in the hip-hop space and all of that, mm-hmm. they feel like one of them groups that take rehearsal serious, like yeah. old school. You know, like, yeah. I don't know how cats rehearsing now. I'm sure there's some people that take it serious, but they feel like they get to it. They got the choreography. They in that bitch for a while. It's probably all mirrored out. You know what I mean? Like, it's serious.
Yeah.
It ain't playing no games.
No disrespect to none of the other R&B guys, because they all rehearse and, you know what I'm saying, get their mm-hmm. choreography down. You know what I'm saying? Cas Neo, Chris Brown. You know, Chris Brown showed his rehearsal when they canceled his AMA thing. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Beyonce, we know she take her shit seriously.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But they were, like, always brought up on that choreography from, you know what I'm saying, the choreography right. era, you know, coming up out of the, you know, the Silvers and the Platters and the, you know what I'm saying, Temptations and shit. Then uh-huh. they became like the new generation R&B group for, you know, these niggas invented the boy band for, you know what I'm saying, for the R&B and probably even for some of these white boy bands. They just followed the New Edition formula.
Definitely. Definitely. So, yeah. I don't know if you remember, speaking of Neo, we actually walked in on a Neo rehearsal back when Neo first kicked off. Remember that shit? We was going mm-hmm. to meet with Ashana for an Artist on the Verge situation, and that was when she first introduced us to Neo. And Neo was, we went to some studio, he was in that motherfucker getting his shit off. I was like, all right, like that. When you see moments like that, you like, okay, artist. You went
over there with me on that?
Yeah, that guy was there because we was trying to get the Jeezy situation cracking.
Right, Absolutely. Right, right. That's how he ended up in Stomp the Yard, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because he was out there dancing.
He was out there dancing, and they was like, we need somebody that could sing and could dance. And mm-hmm. he hadn't even dropped yet. And I was like, well, shit, I know this nigga named Neo. He could sing and dance. I've seen him dance.
mm-hmm.
And so that's how he ended up. And Stomp the Yard from that rehearsal visit with Ashana.
That's crazy. Speaking of just last thing, this is the last thing about New Edition. A funny factoid I just found out recently. Interesting that you brought up New Edition, but Ronnie DeVoe and Louis C.K. went to high school together.
Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, absolutely. That seems so wild. That seems some wild shit. That's such a weird.
When did he go to high school?
Yeah, that was the thing. That was the thing. Louis said. He said every time he used to go to high school and then get picked up in a limousine and then go on the road. Yeah. That shit is wild.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That shit. Speaking of going to high school together, you see old L'Oreal and Michael B. Jordan.
Oh yeah.
She trying to call, you know what I'm saying? You know, they went to high school together. Yeah.
They sat on that one.
That's how you going to do me. Okay, home team, that's what we going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Even though the you know, I went and listened to the clip, and the other person.
It wasn't even her.
Well,
go ahead, because I ain't listened to the, I heard a little bit of the clip.
The co-host was like, he, you know, saying he's corny, right? Uh-huh. And she didn't say he was corny, but she
said he was doing too much.
She added on. He was like, he the type of nigga who brought his head shot to school in high school.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So you ain't say corny out your mouth, but you implied corny by adding on. Mm-hmm. You didn't, you know what I'm saying? You ain't stop her from saying it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You didn't disagree. So he took that personally, like Jordan. Like Michael Jordan.
That was a little spite seed that blossomed into an oak tree of resentment and revenge. Hell yeah. I caught up with your ass on Creed 3. I did three of these shits waiting for the day we converge on the red carpet.
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah, man. And that was interesting. Funny thing about that. I mean, there's a couple things, but the funny thing about that shit, you know, it's like, it's so many different things with that. You know, that's a nigga's origin story. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you're getting clowned and, you know what I mean, shit at all as a youngster, and it just fucking inspires this will to win. Like, fuck this, right? And then, you know, the story L'Oreal talk about, you know, he was coming through with his headshots and shit like that. It's interesting because had he not become Michael B. Jordan, that would have been, you know, ha, ha, ha. You know what I'm saying? But when you, that is manifestation at its most overt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't just putting it in the universe. Nah, motherfucker, that's cool. Because this old school headshots, this is back when you used to have to really go and get them shits printed and that shit. You know, that shit wasn't cheap.
Nah.
And he was motherfucking letting motherfuckers know. But I will say this. It's very interesting when you see young kids determined like that on a almost career-based level. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like when kids are just living day-to-day sneakers and you know, starters and shit like that. Like, that's really the goals in life. Mm-hmm. Fly haircut, you know, shit like that. Get a girlfriend, you know what I mean? Get a boyfriend, whatever. But when you got that 100-yard, maybe even 1,000-yard stare, and you thinking about podium dreams and, you know, Oscar statuettes and, you know, press junkets and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, you thinking of high-level achievement shit, your Oprah interview, all of that type of shit is out there. And you sliding about seven headshots into your East Pack. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the morning, you putting them between your language arts book and your social studies book just so they don't get creased up. And, you know, I see somebody in one of the comments talking about this was the vapors in real life.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Or some Bismarcky shit.
Right.
But, yeah, man, that shit was a funny moment because you could tell He was ready. He was ready. Like, oh, you talk about the corny role, the corny motherfucker, huh?
Right, right. Yeah, well, because obviously he knows she from his high school. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, this what you going to do? This what we doing out here? And at the time, he wasn't even, he hadn't made it when they made these comments. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it probably, you know, damn, it feels good to see people up on it, you know, Biz would say.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody got a story about everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
It could be whoever that made it, didn't make it. Everybody got I remember when the nigga was such and such and such and such. You know what I'm saying? And but most times when you ain't famous, you don't get to see it come back. You know what I mean? You probably know the people done said this or somebody done said that. But when it hit the internet and it come back to you on your front doorstep, you see what L'Oreal said about you? You like, man, come on. Not my people's from the high school, from English class
from
and
Chad,
shit.
From Chad, yeah, you know come saying? On.
Shit, you know, shit. Everybody always got your origin story. You know what I'm saying? I got plenty of origin stories out there niggas could probably tell or probably is telling or whatever. But, man, I wasn't thinking about them then and I ain't thinking about them now. But I ain't Michael B. Jordan either.
Right. Yeah, it's funny, man. It's funny that that shit. He was like, no. I heard that. Right. It was. The funny part about it was that I believe. I don't know for sure, but that was at least a sober moment because it could have been nasty if it was a Hennessy fueled. You know what I mean? Retribution.
Right.
But man. Shout out to L'Oreal. Shout out to shout out to Michael B. I don't even know that nigga, but you know.
Well, shout out to L'Oreal. She did her job.
Shout out to L'Oreal. I know L'Oreal, but it was a good moment. That shit went viral all over the place, and it was a moment. I kind of want to see Creed 3. I kind of want to see it. I don't know if I want to. I don't know.
You don't want to pay for it? What's the time
about? I don't know. Why you saying it like that?
You could deny it. Like you ain't got to confirm what I said.
Oh, no. I'm not going to deny. I mean, that's part of what I was thinking. I'm like, well, shit, nigga. Do I really? Is it going to be that good? I mean, the last one wasn't bad. This is his directorial debut, I believe. So that's probably kind of cool. I mean, him and Ryan, what's my man Ryan's last name?
Coogler.
Ryan Coogler, that's his homie. So I'm sure Coogler probably, I would imagine, gave him some tips and tricks. And I'm sure he's been peeping the scenes as long as they've been working together. That's like Snoop and Dre. So that's a cool ascension.
Who is mad is Rocky.
Oh, yeah, Rocky's sick about it. Yeah, man.
I'm just gonna take my story and just run. Just you make it black and just run. This is reverse gentrification.
But I thought Rocky, I thought he had some type of, I thought he was, at one point, I thought he passed the torch. I thought maybe there was even a little bit of IP negotiation or something like that. He coming across real salty. That ain't that. You ain't got to do it like that, Stallone. Come on, brother. that ain't the way to take it. But, oh well. It is what it is. I heard, though, I don't have, what is it, Paramount Plus? I heard that Stallone show on Paramount Plus. I don't know the name of it. But somebody yelling it at the thing. I might look it up. But Stallone got a show, I believe, on Paramount Plus that I've been hearing is the shit.
Right.
So he doing all right,
Oh,
too.
I think his beef ain't with the movie itself. You know what I'm saying? It's with a producer, Erwin Winkler. So,
old school, yeah. What's the problem?
Nah, I guess they probably couldn't work out a good deal. You know what I'm saying? He say you can't make peace with someone who's been so nefarious, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Stallone has told the story many times of how he has zero ownership of Rocky after he sold the rights to Winkler back in 1976, when he had just $100 to his name. Oh, he sold his rights to us, so they probably, shook him, and he probably salty about the shit. Because they don't really need him no more. It's like they on part three. Like, anything they get after this is a bonus to the franchise,
Yeah, that's got to hurt when you're seeing, you the one that's kind of you started the whole shit. Because that was part of his... That was his big story. Like, he wrote that shit. If I'm not mistaken, he wrote it. Then he was going to sell it, and they wanted somebody else to play him, and he was like, nah. And I believe he even directed it, did all of that. Like, it was, nah, I'm going to do all of this. But I guess he didn't keep that,
Yeah. And
he didn't get that that publishing.
Yeah, he sold his rights. Yeah. He said most recently he criticized Winkler for developing a new spinoff based off of the Ivan Drago character without his knowledge, calling him a parasite, who is picking clean the bones of another wonderful character I created. Yeah. When you sell them rights, boy, it's over, Jack.
Yeah.
They might keep you around, but they're going to do what they please.
Oh yeah, they're gonna show you what you should have done. Definitely gonna. That's what the worst part about it. Oh, that shit is that. Ooh, that's a daily reminder, man. That shit is flipping. I mean, now you about to have a Drago series? Yeah, it's getting nasty. Tulsa King is the show. Mm. The new show that he got. Yeah, I heard it's really good. It's not good enough for me to get Paramount Plus, but I did hear it was good.
Paramount
but,
Plus.
But yeah, man. Thing. Paramount Plus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a thing.
They trip.
Oh. Yeah, so many of these streaming services pop. Yeah. So. But what was I gonna tell you? Speaking of so yeah, I might fuck around and catch the Creed. I don't know. We'll see what's what. What was I gonna tell you? Speaking of shows, I know you don't really rock with it. Well, I don't want to say you don't rock with it. I don't think you watch it though. But do you watch Wu-Tang and American Saga?
No, I haven't started it yet. I do want to watch it, but I haven't committed to it yet because it's like, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I want to watch the whole shit, you know what I mean? But I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, well, you could start now because it's 3 seasons and this is the last season.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, I think I'm gonna go ahead and finish this BMF and motherfucking Snowfall,
right?
Or I start anything anew.
Got you. Yeah, nah, I've been watching. I really like it. I've been following it since it started. I may even talked about it on here. There's a couple little things that, you know, little parts where you're like, but overall, I really like how they balance the tone and the and like the you know, like the story, the I don't even know what I want to say, in the way of, you know, the source material. You know, the Wu-Tang, if anything, the Wu-Tang is probably historically, especially sound wise, one of the most grimy, lo-fi, you know, raw, you know what I mean? Like, groups of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, so enterprising. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And speaking of like how Rocky with IP, I mean, this shit, you see what they do with their IP, and it seems like they really got a hold of it. So, like, this is just another tentpole of the legacy of Wu-Tang. And so it's like, it's a show, but it's Wu-Tang, an American Saga, which adds the little bit of like how they round it out and turn it into a bit of, I don't want to say a family show, but there's family portions of it. Mm-hmm. And it's well done without it being sappy, you know, without really diluting it. Like, there's enough of both. Like, it's really well done. Once you get used to who's playing who, you know what I'm saying? There's little things, you know what I mean? Like, you know, second season, my man, I think his name is Ashton Sanders, is a dope actor, but, you know, he's playing RZA. Mm-hmm. He has like a, he goes into a little robotic drone voice. That's I don't know what that's. It was a strong choice, but after a while you get used to that. But like, there's a little shit like on this season. There's a cat that's allegedly supposed to be Busta Rhymes that don't really look like Busta Rhymes. But you know, overall, the shit is dope because it's like you get to see some of these stories that you read about in rap magazines and you seen coming up and how it all unfolded, but you see it acted out, you know? And, yeah, man, I really enjoyed it. I think it's dope. They, you know, they do some really creative shit sometimes. Like this most recent season, there's a episode about Old Dirty Bastard kind of coming into his own, you know what I mean, when he's putting out his record. And it's like a little, it's very retro. It's very like, kind of like blaxploitation, very much like his first album, you know what I'm saying? Blow Fly and all of that type of shit. And it's directed by, what you call it, Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so shit like that. Like, they really, they do some cool shit. I think it's really dope. it's almost a shame that it's ending after this season, but I do feel like hopefully they finish up strong. So far, it's been a good season. And three and out, I'm not mad at it. I definitely, you know, I found myself as I was watching it, like, it hit me. I was like, yo, I really enjoy this shit.
Wow.
And one of the things that I like is I like the little needle drops. I like the music that they use. Mm-hmm. Like the music that they use within the in the show and in the music that they go to the credits with. Like, it's well done. So, yeah, salute to... and I ran into the cat that played... Ghostface one time at a screening and shit. Cool cat. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
Oh, Dave East played Method Man.
Dave East plays Method Man. Yeah. The kid Shalik plays I think Shalik Moore, whatever. He plays Raekwon. You know, Old Dirty Bastard's son plays Old Dirty Bastard.
Does he?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's...
Nah, I could be wrong. I just did this research the other day. Cause I said the same shit. Yeah. But then when I looked it up, it wasn't Old Dirty Bastard's son. It was an actor.
Okay, well, damn.
ODB, I think, fills in for him. ODB's son fills in for him on the Wu-Tang tours and shows and shit.
Mm. All right, bet. My bad. Yeah. But, yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool. I like the shit a lot, man. It's a good show. It's a good show. So, you know. When you get to it, man, I want to hear what you think about it. I think you'll enjoy that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, salute.
Wu-Tang forever.
So, you know, them niggas be saying.
Oh, shit.
Niggas
out here saying gang shit.
Oh, no, nah, I didn't hit it with the suffix. That's a different, that's a whole different situation. Let's be clear. I do not gangbang. I am not. Know what I mean? What Fifth say? Yeah.
Hey, I was just telling
this. This is not gangbang.
I was just telling this story the other day. First time I went to California ever in my life. It was like 90. What was that? Like 97, something like that.
Yeah.
And first I went to LA, visited, you know, that's what I told you about the Featherstone story. We carried all the custom cars and shit. So then we went to San Diego for the conference, you know what I'm saying? For the Gavin conference, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Shout out to Tim Bisa, you know what I'm saying? Who, she was at the Gavin then. She was like the hip-hop reporter. The first female female hip-hop journalist I knew as a writer. So let that be known.
All right.
But I'm out there, you know what I'm saying? And we was at this bar at a certain point. And it's all these niggas in black and red, you know what I'm saying, with OFTB on their shirts. I didn't know what that shit meant. You know what I'm saying?
OFTB or OFTV?
TB. I think they were signed to Death Row. I found out this later after we had a confrontation. Not a real confrontation, but the nigga confronted me about my dialect. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, where I'm from, you know, you say cuz, it don't mean nothing. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, you know, it was almost like a transitionary... You know what I'm saying? Word that you just throw around, like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, right. That shit was peppering your shit.
It was all peppered through my conversation. Yeah. I probably said it about 3 times. Uh-huh. And the last time I felt myself say it, but I ain't think nothing of it because I don't know gang banging lingo.
Right.
And the nigga, he leaned in, you know, gang banging looking nigga, muscle bound. Dark skinned cat. If you look up that group, you'll see he wanted the dark skin when that's the one I was talking to. And he leaned in. He was like, yo, where you from? I was like, I'm from Miami. You know what I'm saying? He was like, okay. I was like, what? He was like, yo, you don't know shit about this out here. But you know what I'm saying? You don't say that cuz shit around here, man. I was like, alright.
Right.
I mean, that's a strange way to interject into a conversation, but alright.
Yeah. That's a big motherfucker.
Yeah, you see him?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. He get real deferential. Okay, understood.
Then we went upstairs to, like, they was having like strippers in this hotel room. And that was the first time I had never been around gangbanging culture ever in my life. My nigga, it was like a granddaddy gangbanger in there. I didn't think it was 50, 60 years old, man, with his rags and dickies and chucks on. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Cause,
for life.
Yeah, because I only know, you only know like the rappers. You only know Snoop Dogg and them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. MC8. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, nigga.
This is like generational gangbanging. Right. I was like, damn, these niggas is serious.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my cuz to myself around here.
Yeah. That shit is a fucking, it's deep. It's deep. That shit is legacy. Yeah, that shit does look wild. It looks so wild when you're not immersed in it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It like really looks wild. It looks wild. You're like, oh shit, this is like TV. Because most motherfuckers outside of that shit, their introduction is through the movies.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, when you see one of these movie looking niggas, it was like, yo, this shit look just like, this nigga look like Colors. Right. You don't even know the nigga name from the shit. You just like, oh, that nigga look like Colors. Yeah, man. Salute. No disrespect to none of, you know.
Right.
Now the shit done went all over the franchise. You know what I'm saying? Niggas is everywhere, like, you know. But anyway.
That's funny. You pulled that nigga up so you can get a visual. Yeah.
That nigga look tall in picture. Like, wherever that nigga's at.
He's
like,
big.
He fucked with the depth perception.
And at that time, he was like muscle bound, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And we was having a polite, regular-ass conversation, too.
Right. Well, that's cool. That's cool that he was, you know, he had some decorum about it. I guess he knows his figure.
Right, he was like,
you know what I'm saying?
He's like, this nigga can't be from around here.
Because he is wildin'.
He is super disrespectful.
Yeah, he's just really going crazy right now. Oh, shit, man. That's what's up. Yeah. I'm going to have to listen to one of their records to see what they talking about. Oh, shit, man. Shit, brother. We got a lot of
yeah, we got some content. We got some content now.
Where you want to go first? You want
to
take
man,
it gotta to...
We got to go to Snowfall. We could say Snowfall for the end. Let's go on to Detroit. Go on to Detroit.
Right, let's take it to the D.
Let me see. What happened in motherfucking Detroit this week?
Oh, sloppy poppy. I'm out there wildin'. That was a good ass scene though.
Mr.
I had to rewind that about 3-4 times.
Mr. Charles got drugged out in the Publix into the strip club.
She got his nose wide open.
Mr. Charles, like, what is this life?
In public, wildin'. And it caught me. It made so much sense after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just as caught out there as old Charles. Like,
what you mean it made sense? Break it down.
I mean, Meech be everywhere, first of all. You know what I'm saying?
Meech is like Tyreek.
Absolutely. This nigga teleports everywhere. He is the underworld king. You know what I'm saying? He is all over the place, so it only made sense that he gonna be in the cut spot as strip club. You know what I mean? And I just like that moment where you seen the, it is funny, before you, when you called me, I was actually watching an interview with the guy, Russell Hornsby, dude that plays Father Charlie. And I guess he's from the Bay, and he's a hip-hop head, you know what I'm saying? But he looked like such a father. He got that father face, you know what I'm saying? He plays a father, so it's, you know, obviously hip-hop's 50, so there's a lot of grown-ass hip-hop fans.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when he was getting in his shit, he started spitting some shit. Not that he's a rapper, but he started reciting some lyrics that he fucked with.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole different energy. He was like, oh, wow, you know? Mm-hmm. But he's a hell of an actor in that moment. You could see how he played. It's definitely some face acting. Definitely great face acting. But it went from the range of emotion coming in, reluctant, but happy. Because he with his, you know, his little side. He with Wanda. What's her name? Mabel.
Mabel.
He out here with Mabel. Mabel's fun times. Fun time Mabel. He feeling a little reluctant because he know he doing too much. Mm-hmm. He's out and about, but they seem like they in the cloak of darkness. So there's the, you know, there's the the fake, the, you know, like the whatever, the fake security just being in the underworld. So then, you know, he's square. You know, he's a church going man. He played a guitar for the church. You right. know what I'm saying? Played a guitar for the Lord. So he was. She was like, yo, how many women you been with? He like, what you talking about? Just one. He said, what, out of time. What? Like, that shit was blowing his mind. Like, she was out here. She was next level on this nigga. She said she brought a chick over. Rock this nigga's world or whatever Mabel said. Mabel real bossed up. Mabel smooth bossed up.
Mabel know what she doing. Mabel is experienced out here, and he green as fuck. And she using him for what she can.
Yeah, you know, who knows what that is? If it's for fun or if it's for something even more devious? Because it feel like I don't know if she got a long play on him. I think she just enjoying the ride.
Yeah, see, you know what I mean? You know, he's a strong man. He know how to work on shit, fix shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Mabel over there getting money somehow. You know what I'm saying? By herself. She ain't got no old man in the crib. Shit. Charles looked like a good catch to her. But Charles' ass supposed to be on the bench, not in the motherfucking club.
Right. He was definitely not. So, but back to the whole. So he go into with the reluctant, happy face. Then, a little overwhelmed, then delighted with the Mabel set the play up. Then you see this nigga look over, and you just see the anguish and the "I fucked up" of it all in his face. It just all happened. It was all like a sunset. It went through all those emotions, and that nigga stepped off. But I love how Meech peeped him, but... You know, that motherfucker Meech be so unruffled. You know what I'm saying? That nigga is the king of composure in any situation. Any situation. Right. We gonna talk about him and the fucking Colombians and all of this other shit. This nigga is the ultimate unwavering at him and K-9, all of this shit. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Meech peep him. He peep him being peeped. He feels terrible. He like, damn. My boy done seen it. Whatever, whatever. He step off. Mabel chilling. Mm-hmm. She played how it go. She like, all right, well, go ahead, nigga. You square ass nigga. We'll catch up. We'll rap. You know what I mean? But that was my favorite scene. I might have watched that scene 3-4 times.
The nigga had to peel the bra off the back of his neck.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All it. He's so incriminated. He was so incriminated. He was all the way. That motherfucker was in the midst.
Wide the fuck open.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But, go ahead. What you remember? You kick it off.
Nah, you kicked it off already. I just like how they shot the shit, the Meech reveal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it felt like it really happened. You know what I'm saying? It felt like Meech was over there minding his own business, as usual, somewhere where he going to come across some key information. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He's very observant and sensory. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew that the nigga who do the whip gang was the nigga who was at the house that time to flip, whip the bricks up, double them up.
So Pint, was his name?
Yeah, Pint. He knew that was him when he walked in. No, because Meech is Meech.
Right. So right. You got spider senses.
Right. So but he's so cool about it. Matter of fact, you see it and don't see it, that his homie ain't even noticed what had happened.
Right. You know nobody
what I'm
did.
You know what I'm saying?
He
so
peeps it.
So that shit was a trip. And, you know, it connected with me because, you know, I always been around, like, grown folks doing grown folks shit. And then you be the kid that pop up. And I already know what's happening, what time it is. And they like, oh, shit, is this motherfucker going to snitch? You know what I'm saying? This is more about, you know what I'm saying, drug usage with, you know, good, upstanding members of the community. And they wondering if you going to tell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they be trying to figure you out and size you up like his daddy was doing, like trying to, you talk to, you know what I'm saying? You talk to Ali, you know what I'm saying? You talk to Meech, you know what I'm saying? And then in the end, when they realize that you ain't finna say nothing, then you become cool. Like, oh, shit, hey, man, how you doing? Nigga. Yeah.
You know I ain't shit.
It's all good. That's a weird position to be in as a kid, as a teenager, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, shit, after that, you know what I'm saying? B. Mick is revealed to have been kidnapped by old Officer Friendly. You know what I'm saying? They replaced the dope with some cut. You know what I'm saying? That's probably going to blow back on them at some point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, probably.
They made that too easy. B. Mick, you know what I'm saying, in the trunk, you know what I'm saying, getting fed piece by piece until he breaks himself out at some point.
Oh, so you think I guess he was. I ain't really sure that, but I guess he had to been getting fed every day because he survived a couple days.
In the revealing scene when Officer Friendly first opened the trunk, he was like, he gave him like a little protein bar or something. He's like, hey, nigga, you know, eat that. You know what I mean? That's all you're going to have. Okay. Some shit like that. So, you know, they established that he was feeding him like little protein bars and shit.
right. Like a fucking.
But what I don't have is a sense of how long he was in that motherfucker.
He was in that bitch for a bit. Yeah. For at least 2-3 days.
Yeah, but he ain't piss a shit on himself.
Well, if he did, he played it off real cool.
I mean, he went straight to the hospital smelling like a pile of shit then. I know he was dirty, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. He on his Lamar.
Right. So, you know, that part, you know what I'm saying? So he got out, found out his mama dead, so now he's seeing red. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're going to see how that play out. You know what I mean? Old T trying to, you know what I'm saying, convert, you know what I'm saying, old housewife into his old housewife. So.
Old Markeisha.
Yeah, with Markeisha. Markeisha ain't having that shit. She like, you know what I mean? It's rough, but shit, I'm home, nigga.
Right.
What the fuck you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So old Officer Friendly and his bae. Done put out the black and whites on Terry, fucking up his happy home.
right.
Yeah, that shit crazy. You go drop some pictures off to your baby mama.
Right. Yeah. Now he playing dirty out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The officer.
He wanted them bricks back.
He's sick. He's sick because he's like this shit is. It's not. He want Meech. He want Meech, and the shit is Meech is so elusive. It just kill his cat and mouse, and that motherfucker is losing.
Right.
He is sick about that.
So.
I got a thought. Go ahead. Keep going. Go ahead, I got a thought after. No. Well, go ahead.
I was about to move on to a new scene.
Go ahead.
It's a lot going on up in the church, you know what I'm saying? In old Pastor Snoop's church. You know what I'm saying? First they had the gangster funeral. Then the police officer.
Oh, at the repass. Yeah, that was disrespectful. Then
he gonna bust up in there.
You
know what I'm saying? And then, so you had, you know, Officer Friendly busting up in the church, dropping cigarettes in the punch bowl. And then,
foul.
And then on the Sunday service, old Lamar coming there with his mutt. His dog, not his mutt, his pit bull. You know what I'm saying?
Blackie
popped in with Blackie. Blackie dead as fuck. You know what I'm saying? He was carrying
looking like the dog from Martin.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He carrying his dead dog. I need you to do something. Son, it's too late. What you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? That was a irrational ask, but you know, Lamar ain't necessarily the most rational guy. So you know, it was par for the course. But what I ain't understand, if he cares so much, why he just dropped the dog and left? Should have took his dog with him.
Yeah, he kind of. That was weird. Yeah. That was a weird scene. It was a cool little reveal, cool little Snoop moment. Right. You know what I'm saying? That was a nice little,
Yeah, they broke the fourth wall with that one. Talking about he was gonna make me go back to my east side ways. Like, Snoop had to throw his own life in there.
Right. East side or I didn't even think about that.
East side gangster crip, Long Beach. That was the first real gang we knew of. I mean, in pop culture, an official set. East side, Long Beach Crips, 21st Street, Rolling 20s Crip. Shit.
Yeah.
Knew all that shit, but you know what I mean? Didn't know nothing about it.
That's crazy. That shit was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was an interesting scene. It was weird because it's like Lamar ain't really. I don't say he ain't rapped too tight, but that just seemed like a little too. Like gullible, like just childlike. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, you know, I get it. You might have a crisis of faith or whatever like that, and you know, but and maybe you just had a little, and maybe you are spiraling a little lightweight something too.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like, go ahead.
Well, I mean, in his character development, because they do give you a lot of his, they give you, you know what I'm saying? They probably go deeper on Lamar than any other character. When you talking to his baby mama, Cash Doll, she told you that he was childlike. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? He want to be loved, and he want somebody to love him, right? Mm-hmm. Even though he going through all this gangster shit, you know what I'm saying? It was easy for her to draw him in because he wants that love, and she knows that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
susceptible.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the dog was just, you know what I'm saying, one other proxy. Piece of that. Yeah, proxy for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, funny thing about Lamar, I was talking to my cousin. And then he was like, man, only thing about that show, once a nigga got a shit bag, he retired, man. Nigga, he ain't finna be out there doing all that shit. Nigga,
he is moving. He is moving. He like, motherfuckers with a cramp in their leg don't move as much. He is out there in the mix. In the mix. Like, he don't miss shit. Yeah, he's definitely.
Like, a nigga with a shit bag is retired, man. That nigga ain't doing no gangster shit, man.
Nah, he is still. He is still starting. He ain't even on the bench. Yeah, man.
So, you know, that part. But, you know, we got to get into the Meech stealing the plug scenario.
Yeah.
They covered a lot of ground with this, you know, little trip. I mean, of course, it's a magical Meech trip. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And everything going to go right. You know what I mean? Even when it go wrong for others. So so they take the trip out to St. wherever to meet up with the Colombian plug, yeah. K-9 plug, who he disrespected. And went out there with no money, with some guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These niggas good for going out on a bye trip with no bread.
Right.
Like, nigga,
we good for.
Nigga ain't tell you I ain't have no money.
I owe you. Right. I owe you.
He's like, he ain't tell you we ain't have no money.
Right. Yeah, he should have told you that because that's what we lead with. Nigga, that's our style.
Nigga, other people's product. Style. Nigga, these niggas OPP.
Exactly. And ask for big weight.
Right.
For big weight. No bread up front. Nothing down. Yeah.
No money down. And walks out with 300 of them. You know what I'm saying? Already in place.
Yeah. Right. Right. They already there.
Right. So, you know, Meech got robbed by the, you know what I'm saying, the fine girl at the bar. Like, he ain't think that was goddamn suspicious.
That was a T move, right. If anything.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
You pull up to the foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Ain't no chicks at the bar but one fine motherfucker that's just ready, willing, and able. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Off rip.
You ain't even drop your bags off.
Nigga got.
Yeah.
Nigga got.
But then didn't look like he got beat up when he went to the meeting.
Nothing happened. Nah. He ain't have no scars, no black eyes.
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Meech got shot, didn't look like he got shot, you know?
Yeah, Meech is resilient
nigga
too.
Ain't got
he
no
like
scars.
Yeah. Yeah, he slick his hair. Oh,
he the Muhammad Ali a goddamn drug dealer.
I'm
pretty as ever.
That shit crazy.
So you know, and then you know, okay, they successfully make the thing. What's your thoughts on it?
Oh well, two things. Well, lastly, just to untag that Meech thing, and I kind of hinted at a little bit. The moment when him and K-9 again, Meech just talks his way out of everything. Like K-9 K-9 is killing everybody, shot his moms in the head. Like, he is the most performative killer in the whole Detroit. Like, K-9 is off the chain. Like, he's great. He's worse than Lamar on a whole nother level. He shot his mom in the head in the middle of the party so everybody could see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that was crazy. But for whatever reason, Meech could have a level-headed conversation with this psychopath-ass nigga who he just killed his cousin and everything. He got his cousins killed off the whole thing. And he like, and there's no reluctance. There's no tiptoeing through the conversation. This is just, you know, chin up, head, you know what I mean, back straight. Look, man. A deal is a deal. You would have done the same thing. And I know you understand me. K-9 is like, you know what, nigga? The mentorship is over. You a boss.
Nigga. Go ahead. But I came to you like a man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's got to, you know what I mean? Look, this got to stand for something.
Right.
But this is the thing that I peaked. One thing that I peaked and I'm curious about. And they've been kind of playing this like low key, but I think something's gonna happen. One, it's very interesting to see the detectives kind of falling for each other a little bit. But two, I got a feeling that Officer Friendly's son is gonna kill himself.
Damn.
Or wind up killing himself accidentally. Just for the fact, or being killed accidentally by maybe one of his homeboys or something. I thought it was going to happen in this episode because if you remember when they came back with the little Dinty Moore sandwich, which I ain't never heard of before, from Lou's Deli, and he had the little blockbuster, the Kung Fu flick, which again, like their little young kid entertainment is on point. A Kung Fu flick, boy, that was the shit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they make it a point to show Officer Friendly given putting his gun in the lockbox.
Right.
And it kind of looked like he left the key still inserted in there. Mm. I could be wrong, but it looked like that. And I just feel like, you know, there's no reason to show certain shit unless it's going to develop into something. And you've seen this kid. You know, he's been bullied. You don't know what the situation is with his moms. Mm-hmm. Unless I don't remember, but you don't know why she's not in the picture. You know, he over here getting his sneakers taken. He seemed like a real, like a sensitive type kid. You know what I mean? And, you know, his pops, as much as he tries to be there, there's a bit of a disconnect. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised if we see something happen in that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well,
that's my little speculation.
Good old Detroit.
Old Detroit, man. Yeah, it's been good. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, that little shady psychic or whatever. that was a funny little scene.
She got their ass for all their money. But
I'll get rid of this.
How did T get the chain back before they got the chain back?
Did he get the chain back or was it a new chain?
Yeah, the next scene he had on the T-chain.
But I think, I don't know what chain she took because it looked like she put some chains back.
She had the T-chain. Uh-huh. And then she put something, then the lady threw something in a bra off the table. I mean, that lady had a whole lot of shenanigans going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shit was funny.
I guess they got the answer they was looking for. Shit.
Yeah, now they do. Exactly. Definitely got the real footage.
Ain't need no psychic. He's officer friendly.
Gotcha. So there's that, man. So shout out to Detroit. Let's get on the flight. Let's take it out to South Central. With a two-piece. I forgot they do this at the top of the season. A two-piece. That shit was...
I can't remember which one I had to watch the second.
Yeah, huh?
I'm trying to identify which one was in which one.
Well, I'm going to say this just off rip. If this is any indication of how it's going to go... This is the Jerome season, Pop. Amen Joseph, he might get nominated for Emmy because he putting in work. He putting in work on this one. He ended both episodes is him with a hellified performance. And they probably going to snub the motherfucker, but, in, you know, amongst the people.
Yeah.
This motherfucker is to be considered.
Well, I'm going to put it like this, D, man. I was disappointed they did old Jerome character like that, man. Had him beat that girl to death like that.
It was too much. It was over. He snapped. Like, He's doing too much.
But I mean, Jerome been through much. You know, he been through some situations with some niggas and so with, you know what I'm saying? Squabble. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, learn how to squabble.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
the violent way that they had him do it, it turns you against his character. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's people like, fuck Jerome now. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, you know, why yet. You know what I'm saying? I just felt they, you know, they just took his character into a dark turn. Now you can't even really see the redeemable value in Uncle Jerome. And, you know, people already turned on Louis, which I think is not as warranted as people make it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I see a lot of Louis hate.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's because she a woman, blah, 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 but, you know what I'm saying? She really ain't do nothing in the game that was off base for the game. You know what I'm saying? To want your own shit is not off base. All she did was what Meech did. You know what I'm saying? Wanted his own shit, wanted better prices, went and got the plug. Just like what Meech did to K-9. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But it wasn't no, I came to you like a man speech. You know what I'm saying? It was, oh, Louis a bitch and she acting a fool. They need to be grateful.
Sneaky.
They need to be grateful for what Meech did, what Franklin did for them. But Franklin couldn't have done none of that shit without either one of them.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
Without Jerome or Louis. So that's how I be.
Yeah.
So
I also see, I think that That's an interesting point. I do see that. I did think that was, one, that was a terrible way for that character to go out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was just, it was a lot, right? But I think that feels like, and I don't know if it's heavy-handed or not, or maybe it's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they are really trying to show the fallout from this shit.
Right.
Right? And they're using that little girl almost like a Greek chorus or like an echo.
Right.
You know, you see her in the beginning, her pops died and, you know, get the little girl. She gets to, you know, she discovers, I think her name is Tisha.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to discover that, you know, her father's under that sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Then the moment in the second episode with Jerome and Franklin, when Franklin pull out on Jerome, you know, after Franklin leave, he sees the little girl, you know, like, it's like, I don't know if it's too heavy handed, but like, and then also not just that little girl, there's also the little kid. So it's like trying to show all of the collateral damage. Mm-hmm. There's the little kids right before the drop. Mm-hmm. You see the little kids in the back seat eating the McDonald's or whatever. Right. And then where's my mom? And oh, she's coming back. It's
But see, that's the thing. All of that shit is pointed to Jerome. Jerome ain't kill that little girl, daddy. You know what I'm saying? But he did he killed the mama though. He, you know what I'm saying? But it's all weighing on him. I'm not sure if it's because he predicted this shit. He already told Franklin from the jump. Once you do that shit is, you know what I'm saying, a whole nother level. It bring a whole nother level of violence and all that shit. He said that shit from the jump. You know what I'm saying? That's why he ain't want to even be in the shit. You know what I'm saying? If they got beef with Louie, you know what I'm saying? It should be that she wanted in the game when Jerome didn't want in the game. You know what I'm saying? I think he catching a bad rap, man, in this script.
Yeah, but I also think that there's that part of like Jerome and maybe Lee. We might not see him for a while.
Lee in the next episode from the trailer.
Okay, cool. I knew he had to come back because I seen that, you know, he was on the red carpet, him and Gail Bean and all of that. So I know they're going to be back at some point. Mm-hmm. But like Jerome and Lee particularly seem to be some of the more noble characters. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like Lee's in it. Like he in the trenches, but he still has his principles and there's certain shit that he don't want to do and da 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 da. And he's kind of like, he was the closest to Franklin for a while and he was mm-hmm. the one that kind of walked him through it. You know, there's that amazing scene where Franklin is in jail and he's like his corner man, like, nigga, this what you going to do. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And, you know, Jerome, like you say, you always mention that scene where Jerome was very much like, we don't need to do this shit. It's going to get ugly, mm-hmm. right? He was the prophet. Mm-hmm. He knew what to expect. And I think there is that part of Jerome where that's why everybody kind of sided with him because he saw it already and he knew how bad it was going to get. But now he's part of the collateral damage too. Even mm-hmm. he can't, you know what I mean? Even he's been fell victim to mm-hmm. how fucked up all of this is. Right. He snapped. You know what I mean? And I think they've been building him to snap too. Like with the last season, you know, him going to the little therapy thing and you finding out he was in the service and mm-hmm. or even in the war, in the military, whatever, whatever. He's seen some shit. And then even that moment in the coffee shop when he's telling the story about how he got to LA and how he was out of place and then mm-hmm. he had his sister come through and man, he's been having like had some hella fire scenes.
That was a hella fire story, man. I got a little teary eyed off of the little story. Yeah, you know, man. Till Franklin opened his mouth with his stupid ass. Like every motherfucking thing else. This nigga.
Frantic Franklin. Yeah,
this
man.
Nigga turned into a wildcat. Shut your ass up.
Anything, nigga.
All he could do is yell.
That shit was so funny, man. Oh, man.
Get the fuck Frank. Out. Oh, Franklin. Old Frank. Nephew. You know what I'm saying? Man. So, what was the first episode?
First episode was, it was a couple days. First episode was the drop V. I got this. I know we talked about this. There seems to be, now we ain't talk about this, but we talking about, I'm seeing on the timeline sometimes when I'm looking at, when I'm watching the show and say, there seems to be this belief, and I think maybe you said this shit last season. Remind me if you did, I'm not sure. There seems to be this thought that V is the feds or she working with somebody. What did you have that or who'd you say that about? Was that did you ever have that take or
I just thought she was weird, you know what I'm saying? I don't you know, nobody trusts her. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Franklin is known for getting double crossed by his women. You know, nobody can get a make on her. You know what I'm saying? We don't understand why Franklin chose her. She just popped up mm-hmm. out of the blue. She got this mysterious background. I guess we're starting to see more of that now mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. in this last season. You know, mm-hmm. Franklin is so contradictory and hypocritical and shit sometimes because he was the one told her to go check in with the mama peoples, you know what I'm saying, uh-huh. to make the bank play. But then right. when she brought the mama to the table, he was like, you know, I don't know why you bringing her to this. Why you bringing her? Nigga, you brought her. Shit, nigga.
Right, right. You proposed
you
this.
You know what I'm saying? What the yeah. fuck is you talking about? Yeah. Nigga, you need help, nigga. You ain't got no friends. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got no security right. no more. You're out on your own.
Yeah, you bugging out.
Yeah.
Okay, so. First, yeah. Go ahead. Go.
What I would like to say before we even go any further is, you know what I'm saying, we've been talking a lot about the gentrification of this cast and the screen time that they give it to these characters that we don't care nothing about. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Reed, old little love story, we care nothing about. You know what I'm saying? Also, mm-hmm. you know, he get a pass because, you know what I'm saying, we care about him before. But, you know what I'm saying, we don't know much about his family. We don't know much about what's going on with Oso. His love story ran off into the wind. We never heard from her since. I don't know if we're going to ever hear about her ever again. You know what I'm saying? So Oso's story was so tripped out. They did a power move on Oso. You know what I'm saying? Because Oso got arrested on his way out on last season. You know what I'm saying? He went to go get the money from the storage, and they was there. And then it was just like, like when the episode came on, you're like, how the fuck Oso still walking around? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So well, we see why now.
Yeah, we see why now, but it was like, God damn, am I tripping? I thought Oso got knocked. But yeah.
I got a question about the Oso thing that might be unclear.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that he's kicking it with, is that like his niece or sister? He's related to this woman, right? That's not the woman that he was feeling, because she jetted, right? That's not his lady. Yeah, this is like...
I don't know if it's his lady. You know, like, again, they be throwing these characters in without no development.
But the other part, yeah, they just be popping up. And then the other part of it is she also a Fed? Because then I know when they went back to, like, to the... Maybe I'm getting them confused. When they went back to the, like, to the little headquarters, when we found out he was working for them people now...
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that same woman that was on the porch was in there with them. Or might be somebody that looks similar.
I think the police, I think the DEA agent kind of maybe looking similar.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, because I don't think she was there. Okay. But, you know, again, these little sideways-ass peripheral stories, I guess they'll connect at some point. But,
yeah,
you know, we ain't need to see Reed looking for his lover.
nobody gave a fuck about that.
And then magically Tariq, like, finds her. Just, how did he find her?
I don't know.
The scene changed and he just walked up to the jail. Hey, here you go. Took you so long.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the fuck?
That was real corny. That was some real 20s type, you know what I'm saying, Humphrey Bogart type shit. What took you so long? Yeah, they really shoehorning that.
Yeah.
Nobody give a fuck. They could have gave somebody else that time.
Yeah, we could have been in Inglewood with my man with his spiritual enlightenment. You know what I'm saying? More than this crazy shit.
Yeah. Sand, what's my man's name? Sand, what's my man? Oh, damn. I call him Sherman Hemsley.
Right.
but I forget his real name. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I like him. Glad that he's still in it. Glad that he's still in it.
We could see more of him than all this old crazy shit what we doing.
Right.
So Franklin Mama got her KGB nigga on the case. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He had a conversation with Franklin. Who knows where that's going?
When he cracked the suitcase, said, yo, I want to be transparent. Because later on, that same suitcase had a whole recording thing. Was he showing Franklin that he was being recorded? Or yeah, was he just was, showing he him was that?
I guess it must have been like, shit, we're going to do this interview.
Okay, because I wasn't sure. It makes sense now, because when he cracked it, I thought he was showing him, look, I ain't got nothing in here. Because I didn't see any of that recording equipment in that scene. Right. But then later when he was showing it, okay, bet.
Yeah, so he probably was just like, yeah, we about to do this. Give me all what you got. Yeah. So, you know, we got the KGB, the CIA, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. In the streets, all we getting is killed, you know, which, you know, that's the era. So Franklin got his problem trying to get his money clean so he could finish buying this building or whatever they doing.
Right.
His old lady didn't want no parts of it. Then all of a sudden she had to pull up at the airport. Now, did he think that was fishy? What was the plan? Like, what are we supposed to do?
Well, that's why.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who was he waiting on? Like, what, you know what I mean? Who was supposed to show up? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He at the airport, the old private jet. Like, who was supposed to get on that motherfucker and go to Miami if she didn't show up?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a plot hole.
Right. You know what
all the way get that. Yeah,
right. It was like, you know what I'm saying? Shit, you got a big ass G5. She could have flew on in your plane, nigga. Y'all could have flew together, nigga.
Right, made a nice little couple's flight.
Yeah, one
would
little.
Would that have made it over all the way to Miami, though?
Nah, he would have had to stop in Texas or some shit, but shit.
He had to stop a couple times. Took a local. Yeah, nigga.
Just make a trip out the shit. Shit.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go apple picking.
Yeah.
Oh, But go ahead. Go ahead, keep
but
going.
I was happy to see a Benz in that bitch. You know what I'm saying? Franklin, he has the worst tasting car. So I'm like, nigga, what is you rolling in? Mm. Nigga, you rolling in a stankin' lankin'. You know what I'm saying? That was an old man car back then.
Yeah. Well, Franklin's an old man. Franklin is a young old man. nigga, sometimes a white man. Franklin is so, man.
Nigga riding in a stankin' lankin'. And shit, you know what I mean? So when she pulled up in the Benz, I was like, okay, they is getting some money and actually doing some things out here in these streets. So that was encouraging. And then what else going on? The mama on her shit.
The mom's on that shit. What was it? Diamond and Silk was the two? I forget their names, the two of them.
Black and Diamond or Black Diamond and, Black and Dallas. Diamond, Dallas man. And Black Diamond.
Dallas. Well, now, which one got killed? Was it Black Diamond?
Black Diamond got killed.
Yeah, rest in peace, Black Diamond. I like them as a little unit.
Yeah.
Because I like that little, their little whole vibe and how they were holding him down. You know what I'm saying? But still having regular ass responsibilities. I had to go get a sitter. Before I came out here with these guns.
Yeah, they always, I mean? They like, always, that's always been in their role.
Yes, and I love it because it's like real life. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to get to that. Don't worry about it. We could do it all.
Yeah.
So I like that.
It's crazy because, that's type, I was raised up around those kind of people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At one point, I looked up like, damn, everybody that I love was in the game. Shit. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Have you rethinking your childhood?
Yeah. Colorful past.
Right.
The Kane shit is.
Yeah, Kane.
I don't get
Kane it. Threatening niggas like he, nigga. Like he got full
he
use of his limbs, nigga.
Yeah. He bugging out.
Nah, but they said Kane is a lion out here, so he must got some clout. You know what I'm saying? He must run a set and can pull some strings and get your ass fucked up. Whether he in that bed or not.
We seen him kind of, in action a little bit. Mm-hmm. He definitely got influence out there. People fuck with him. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
I understand, when he beat old girl to death, they pulled up with all the police. Why they had to do that? Catch them off guard?
I guess they did that so that maybe they wouldn't, to catch them off guard, maybe they wouldn't get heightened. They wouldn't pull their shit out. Because they pulled them up on some regular unmarked car shit.
Right.
It'd have been a shootout.
Right.
It'd have just been a shootout. Somebody would have had to get killed. Right. And it could have been somebody on that side. Go ahead.
We have jumped the shark on the law enforcement and the crime. I mean, God.
Oh, they so complicit.
We got the CIA, we got the KGB, we got the LAPD. Mm-hmm. These niggas is the police.
Well, I guess this is all also before the camera phone, so it's like almost, this is going to be urban legend.
Nah, there was too many niggas out there, man. That's going to be the talk of the town. Nigga, beat her to death. Nigga, that's a different thing.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. He snapped. That shit was some barbaric, brutal shit, And it was unnecessary, But
we knew it was unnecessary. He thought knew where his bread was.
He thought he had to get it out of her. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out. If anybody dies, before we get into this, we'll do some speculation on anybody dies,
right,
or who's coming back, if we'll see Peaches again. I don't know.
They keep talking about him. I think we're gonna see him.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see him. There's also this whole thing with, I guess it's the guy that was in the museum with Franklin. Is that the same guy that was on the little photo?
Yeah,
photos radioactive.
Nah, come on, man. Well, yeah, he was the guy in the sketch Teddy old girl described him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Fuck them. And then also old lady or niece or I don't know, whatever, just magically got a black and white picture from the wedding on the refrigerator, just big ass eight and a half by 11 ass picture on the refrigerator from, come on, man, get the fuck out of here.
That's a good ass sketch from Recall, especially after you done bumped your head.
Well, she an intelligence person.
Okay, but so still, she communicate well.
Yeah, he know her from some, you know, Middle East from intelligence back shit back in the day.
Yeah.
So, she know what to do with all that type of shit. He's like, that's why he asked her, did you get a good look at him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she cool. She got that shit. She like a 3D printer. So, going to the next episode, I'm going to just say it flat out. So far, I fuck with V-Moms. I like V's mom. Yeah, She cool as shit. I don't know if I all the way trust her, but I like the introduction to her character. I like tell she been out here, you know, when they sitting at the table and she says 73 million. She don't even flinch. She just say, all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's nothing. It's just another case. I couldn't get this part. I don't know if it was a flex or whatever. Like, okay, so I might see 7.3. Or I might see 10% of this. You know what I mean? But I saw when she just put all her chips in, it was like, I'm leaving. So she just cashed out. She was like, I insist. So she just gave all that money away and walked off. Was that just a big ass tip? Was she just showboating a little bit? What was that part about?
Well, I mean, I guess she just left a big ass tip. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, because that was a big ass tip. That was a big ass tip too. That was a lot of, unless those was dollar chips, she gave that motherfucker a lot of bread.
But you understand, she's a player. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. That's so, how they introduced her. Yeah,
she a player. You know what I mean? So whatever she was in there for, you know what I'm saying? It's part of the plan, part of the play, how she get down. You know what
charge
I'm saying?
Charge it to the game.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm out of here. There you go. Hold that. You know what I mean? I don't know how much they was playing for in that little joint, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever it was, she went outside and, you know, got her beer, nigga.
Beer and some ribs. Right. Yeah. I like her. I like her style.
So she's setting up the play. She a good old con artist and, you know what I'm saying, fraudster.
Connected.
Scammer. In this day and era, she'll be a scammer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she know what she doing. And Franklin don't know what she doing. And 70 million is a lot of fucking money. And then, you know, again, if she could get it back, why would she give it to him?
You know what I'm saying? The thing that... Well, that begs the question, because it seems like, you know, to your point, what does she want? If she get all that money back, why would she give it to him? But it does seem like maybe she wants to be back in her daughter's life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Wants to be a grandmother. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's worth, maybe her daughter's life and her grandbaby's life is worth more than 73 million.
Well,
maybe.
You know, that's one of them. That's one of them plot twists where it'd be like, "Whoo, got this 73 million right here." I want to be in my daughter, but I ain't been around in motherfucking 15 years anyway.
Ain't cool like that anyway.
You know what I'm
saying?
She'll be all right.
She do what I taught her.
They'll work it out. They'll figure out another lick to get it back up. If a nigga could get 70 million once, he could get 10 at some point.
He'll be fine. And if not, I won't hear about it. But yeah, who knows? But yeah, I like her character so far. What else goes on? We're gonna talk about the coffee shop scene at some point. I'm trying to think what else happened in this second episode.
Ah, man, they went and seen Inglewood. He gave him some origami birds and shit.
Right.
Which
right.
Louis threw hers to the side, which might be foreshadowing. She might be out of here in a minute. He tried to give us a good luck. We ain't see old Unc throw away his, so he might be out.
And she chucked her shit too.
Yeah, she threw that shit on the ground disrespectfully.
Yeah.
She like, fuck all this shit. Oh, this is the shit that tripped me out when they had the nigga from St. Louis that was deaf, the deaf dope dealer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, man, these niggas is just equal opportunity casting at this point. They're just throwing everything in there.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it was a funny little aside from that scene was when Jerome said to him, yo, get yourself a little something. You know what I mean? I set you up with something. He said, but I'm married. I don't live that life. He said, nigga, everybody got something off to the right. side. And Louis was like, nigga, what? Right. Just like that little, I guess maybe that was for a little comedic effect or whatever, whatever. But yeah, that was a weird little moment too.
Now that might be a fissure, you know what I'm saying? Because she brought it up later, I think.
She recalled that shit. Okay. Cause that didn't even seem like he was himself. Maybe that nigga is all the way snapping. But I never really looked at them, especially since they just got married. But even beyond that, I felt like they was solid as a roll some Ashford and Simpson shit.
But they
like,
are, but was, they
go ahead.
That shit was open. You know what I'm saying? Remember he let her go back over there and finish the relationship with Claudine so they could get Franklin in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
They had like a, you know what I'm saying? They was kind of free with their shit.
Swinging a little bit.
Yeah, they was kind of free. So, you know.
Well, she was, but he never really was. I think he's always been kind of wide open off of her.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't think he's ever exercised any bit of a, you know, being out in the world like that I could remember.
But see, remember when you first introduced the Louis, right? Remember the other chicks was coming around the house and she went out there and beat the girl ass? And he was just laughing about the shit. Like, go on now before I sick my girl on you.
That's like then, first season?
Yeah, then she went out there and whooped the girl ass. You know what I'm saying?
He
was like a hood legend doing his thing, right. You know what I'm saying? Had all this, you know what I mean? And then he had her. He saw some redeemable values in her, even though she was an addict or whatever, nursed her on back around. You know what I mean? And they had that old man, old lady relationship. You know what I mean?
Right.
For him, it was the game. It was like, nigga, going on, sit down somewhere, man. We gonna go get this shit together. You know what I'm saying? I'll send you over some, you know what I'm saying? Some what's her names for you, you know? And when the man denied it, he like, God, it was just losing patience. He's like, nigga, I ain't got no dope right now. You know what I'm saying? So let me figure this shit out. I need some time. You know what I'm saying? My man like, I gotta get back to my birthday party. You know what I'm talking about? So.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, that was a little. Now, I will say, though, when you in the game, there is a lot of, you know what I'm saying, a lot of handicaps.
Waiting.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of motherfuckers who got some handicaps, you know what I'm saying, didn't necessarily grow up with no insurance and shit. So you see a lot of little ailments that never went treated and shit, a leg that probably could have been corrected if addressed. Mm-hmm. But now he
just a disposition.
Now they just call a nigga LL because both of his legs look like two L's pointing in and shit.
Call a nigga hip hop.
You know what I'm saying? it was a nigga named LL in Miami. They used to call him LL.
Because
he had the bow legs, but his feet kind of pointed towards each other. Like two L's and shit.
I ain't think
about trying to fix that shit. But anyway.
Yeah, I know it.
The game was democratized. Anybody could get in. You got a few dollars to get you a pack, you know? So there's that. So, you know, to the coffee shop, because we skipping all the little aside scenes.
Because I can't remember too much of any
other
shit.
Yeah,
because
they was bullshitting.
Anyway.
He went to go see Oso at the wrestling match. You know what I'm saying? Teddy was running around trying to retrace his steps with his old lady. You know, the DEA trying to get Oso to show him the tunnel. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, a lot of that shit just felt like, what we doing?
Just wasting time, filling up time. You know what I'm saying? Getting niggas some union cards and shit.
Double spacing.
Speaking roles and shit that they don't need to be saying shit. But leads us to the meetup, which, you know, again, they teleported to the meetup. I don't really recall when they said that. I know him and the mama talked about it, but.
Yeah, that was another little moment. It was kind of like, I don't know what she served, but it was like, yeah, I guess this meal is like a loaded meal. Moms made this meal for the pops where I guess they was in crisis or whatever. Right. And they both saw it two different ways and shit like that. But it's very interesting. Well, it's just very interesting that moms can still, like, moms is in the midst of all of this shit. She's so like a diplomat. Like she could go meet with the the KGB ass motherfuckers. Then in the midst of a, I guess, impending or red, like a war, she could go kick it with Franklin and let Franklin know, yo, I'm about to holler at Jerome. I'm gonna have him at the house, FYI. And she's Sweden. You know what I'm saying? Right. Or Switzerland. Right. Like, look, Jerome, relax. Ain't nobody coming through. Blase skip. Here's some food. Here's some liquor. Let's talk. Like, it just seems like it wouldn't be that easy. But that's just my own thing. But, you know.
It would be. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we looking at it, you know what I'm saying? It's a dope dealing operation. But at the end of the day, it's just a nigga, his uncle, and his mama, you know what I'm saying, doing some business, right? And shit get crazy, but that's why even, like, when Jerome was talking about Franklin, he was like, the kid, and Louis like, this nigga ain't a kid, nigga, this grown man business now, nigga, shit.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's still family. And you got to understand, it's like, a lot of this shit.
He raised him.
Yeah, a lot of this shit, when you're in the game, a lot of that shit was like, went from nothing to everything in a year and a half, 2 years and shit. Nigga, a long ass run, and if you ever read FS magazine, everybody run be about 3-4 years. You know what I'm saying?
Like the NFL.
You know what I'm saying? And that shit is life in prison. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of this shit happened over a short amount of time. Like, this nigga life has been turned all the way upside down in a very short amount of time. And Franklin is one of the ones that was able to make it to that level. You know what I'm saying? But everything around him, his money changed. He flying planes and he got his house and condos and whatever. But his personal life, his emotional center, you know what I'm saying, only changed for the worst in a very short amount of time. He lost all his friends. He lost everybody. It's just him. And then some strange old lady we got a baby with that he having a baby with that he don't probably know. You know what I'm saying? His uncle is estranged. You know what I'm saying? Louis, who carried him and all that shit, she is strange. You know what I mean? He was estranged from his mama for a while. It's like all these interpersonal relationships, you know, all of this is super new. And it all happens super fast. So it's a very conflicted moment when you got to go talk to your brother who beefing with your son. You know what I mean? It's very conflicting when, you know what I'm saying, your mama brought your daddy in the house who ain't been around, and now she back in love with this nigga and you can't do shit about it. When all your life you've been like, man, this nigga ain't shit. This nigga ain't shit. He leaving us here to starve. Now you finna drag him in the house. Like the nigga, girl next door, you know what I'm saying, get addicted to crack. You know what I'm saying? Shoot his ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, this nigga interpersonal relationships is fucked. And that shit happened really quick. It ain't like this shit happened over 10, 20 years. This nigga probably ain't number 22 years old.
No, I get it. I understand the fact that the ascension was fast, but there's a lot of money on the line. And they both seem like they well beyond, as you say, the edge of their intelligence. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker is beating this woman to death in front of the entire community. Franklin out here, you know what I'm saying? Like, pardon me, he wild. Like, it just seems like there would be no base, but it is what it is. So yeah, let's talk about that coffee shop scene. That was a good ass scene. What's your thoughts?
Man, I thought, what's his name?
Joseph.
Joseph. He put his foot in it with that bad wig on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You almost forget that wig ain't the best.
he put his foot in it, you know what I'm saying? The cherry curl wig on. You know, he looked like an old school nigga, you know what I'm saying? And the nigga swung them punches with authority, you know what I'm saying? Oscar winning fight poses for his punch throwing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know why Franklin jaw wasn't cracked, but.
Frank Joe, he took them. He took a two-piece and ate them shits. He did a meech.
But I don't even know why he ain't pull his pistol the first punch, nigga.
Right.
You ain't gonna get two, motherfucker.
Right.
Even if it's nothing to just stop. I think he pulled the pistol just to stop the nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Slow the blows.
Like, hold up now. Shit.
Time out.
We ain't finna be doing that shit, nigga. Well, come on now.
That's enough.
It's a motherfucking enough. So I think, you know, it was a hell of a, you know, I think they just trying to fill in some blanks with that speech. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the story, I think they probably, you know, revised and, you know what I'm saying, fit that shit in. But I thought they did a good job with that. I think, you know, Franklin always, he got the same speech. Franklin say the same speech every time. I put this shit together. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't have shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, all this shit. You know, you were selling dime bags off the porch. But that's the interesting part because, yeah, he wasn't making a whole lot of bread and all that shit, but he was inherently happy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He was throwing barbecues. You know what I'm saying? Had everybody around. He was important. He was important around
speakers.
The way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we've seen it. We've seen how important his stance was. You know, mm-hmm. throughout the season. Just like with OGD, who was buying the lowrider, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He talked shit to niggas, but when Frank went on, when got down, Jerome show up, that nigga stand down. Mm-hmm. Take all that bass out of his voice, you know what I'm saying? He gets sensible, you know what I'm saying? You know I'd rather buy from you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he a whole bully-ass nigga out here. You know what I'm saying? So.
That's his hero.
Right. Hero. He like, shit, let me leave this nigga here crazy, man. Mm-hmm. And he like to whoop ass. That's his whole thing.
He enjoy it. He enjoy that shit. Get yourself some squabbles.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the best.
So.
Oh, shit.
So, we knew he was important to the hood by the way he was able to help Franklin. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He knew he could run the dossier on D and be like, oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Your mama live off of such and such. You know, he know that shit because he of the hood. You know what I'm saying? Franklin ain't know none of that shit. You know what I mean?
Which kind of surprised me with his speech because he comes across a lot more settled than he really is. I mean, it's still 20 some odd years. So he put in the work or whatever, but it just felt like, I don't want to say he felt born and raised there, but he definitely felt like, you know, firmly rooted in that situation. And, you know, he's a transplant that just kind of made something out of nothing.
Right.
You know,
that's why I say I felt like the speech was revisionist. You know what I'm saying? Because I think they recrafted it to make the emotional appeal. Because when we first met Jerome, he was fully rooted in the community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so he didn't feel like he was disconnected, but that's not to say he wasn't disconnected at some point in that process.
Yeah, you never really felt like he didn't, you know, the way he tells the story, it felt like he never felt like he fit in.
Right.
But from everything we see, I don't say he's the life of the party, but he was definitely super comfortable. Yeah.
It was life of the party, nigga. Nigga had a front yard full of motherfuckers on a regular ass day.
Right. Yeah. So
you know.
But
it's
gonna be good, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
What's your speculation? Any kind of theories you got?
Let me see. What do I speculate?
Mm-hmm. What you think of these first two episodes?
I'm all the way in. I like them. You know what I'm saying? They back. You know what I mean? They came back strong enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't appreciate the filler characters and these filler stories that are it's unnecessary, you know. So, you know, I guess you got to democratize the cast and, you know what I'm saying, and all that. But, you know, I'm knowing this last season, you know what I'm saying, you know everything coming to a head. It's nobody off the table, you know what I'm saying. We probably going to see some casualties, you know what I'm saying. I do think we'll see Peaches again because they keep hollering his name, you know what I mean. But, you know, Snowfall, they do be writing them old orphan-ass lines and shit, you know, so we'll see, you know what I mean. I think they're going to continue taking Louie down the villain path. We probably won't see her redeemable values. Shit, they already done drug Jerome down to the depths of, you know what I'm saying? Shit. And I think in the end, we're going to see what Franklin has to live with all this shit. You know what I'm saying?
So you think he gonna live? He gonna survive it all? You think he gonna wind up in jail? Or you think
he gonna go to jail? He gonna go? He gonna get 3 life sentences and, you know what I'm saying, be in jail? He gonna get out when Obama get in office 30 years later and shit? And, you know what I'm saying?
when they
change the goddamn sentencing laws, he'll come home. You know what I'm saying, to a nigga that stole his name. Rapper name Franklin Saint and shit. Just the Saint boys.
This a bitch.
Shit like that. Nigga had to start a podcast, write a book, put out an independent book.
Be on Vlad
TV telling old war stories. See when I had to shoot my Uncle Jerome and shit.
So nobody, you don't think anybody gonna get killed?
I think they may kill Louis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got a feeling that might happen. I have a feeling that might happen. I wouldn't even take Jerome off the table either. It would be, they probably the most sentimental characters out the two of them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If they do take Jerome off the table, it won't be early. You know what I'm saying?
It won't be early.
Yeah. I think, you know what I'm saying? That's the tension, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Uncle and nephew, you know what I mean? Uncle and few.
Right. Hilarious. With the other thing, I had another thing. I'm curious how Lee's going to wind up being reincorporated, how Wanda's going to wind up being reincorporated, what's going to happen with Peaches. Is he going to get redeemed or is he going to get killed? What's going to happen with this KGB situation? Do you think Teddy just lives on, or will he catch one? Is Oso going to die? What you think?
Oso probably going to walk with his $10 million back to Mexico. Teddy, I think, you know what I'm saying, if they really wanted to give the people what they want, he'll end up with a bullet in his head. That probably won't happen to the season finale. You know, and when everything is off the table, because, you know, they're going to let that man eat. They're going to eat all the way through the season. I think, you know, in the trailer, it looked like he's trying to proposition Lee for help. You know what I'm saying? So he need a nigga in his corner. He ain't got no more muscle. He out there by himself.
Yeah, I got to watch. I don't think I seen the trailers.
Yeah.
I got to check it out. And then there's also them obvious old people kind of...
Yeah, punking brother.
Teddy a little bit. Obvious brother. It's kind of feels out the blue too.
Right.
But
I mean, just like I say, they just be throwing motherfuckers in, man. Like, come on, when did Avi have a brother, man? Stop it.
Right. Who is the shit, like the man? Like who's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like who are these random, you know what I'm saying, Israelis? You know what I mean? Golly.
We will see. But anyway, shit. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We gone.
Peace.